This show was first broadcast on Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. For more information on our lineup of shows and the role we play in the media, visit freefm.org.nz.
Community Waikato on Free FM 89.0. I'm Holly Snape from Community Waikato, and I'm excited today because I have Gemma Piercy with me here. Welcome, Gemma.
Oh, thanks, Holly.
Gemma, how long have I known you? It's the 90s, right? It's absolutely the 90s at some point.
Definitely 99. By 99, we knew each other.
Yeah, a long time ago now.
Yeah, 98.
And it's marvellous to have you a bit more in my space. I get to come into your space still every now and then, but welcome. It's great to have you in our community space. So Gemma is actually a lecturer up at Waikato University, Dr. Gemma Piercy. Tell me about your doctorate.
So I finished my doctorate back in 2018, and it was a very long journey because I was working full-time at the university when I was doing it. And my labour studies thesis was all about the workplace, particularly service sector work. And I had a case, really, really fun case study looking at coffee and baristas and cafes and roasters.
Yes.
Because, you know, I knew that it was going to be a long journey and I had to pick a workplace that I really wanted to go to. And I love going to cafes.
It makes a lot of sense, I have to say. But it's also really timely because there's a lot going on in that whole service industry and the workplace. So as a labour study background, you're currently working a lot in social policy up in the sort of social science area. This is a really interesting time for you, and this is going to segue a bit into what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah, absolutely. So the ideas that connect the two areas of labour studies and social policy is just a concern with inequality and a desire to make a difference.
And I think that is a really good segue into what we're going to talk about today, which is an opportunity you with some colleagues have been able to facilitate, which is the esteemed Max Rashbrook coming up to Hamilton to have a conversation at the university. It's open to the public. Yep. About what's sort of going on in this space.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's been fantastic that Max has agreed to come and talk on behalf of our program, and essentially it's just a really, really good opportunity to think about, okay, so what's been happening since the change in government? Because they have established this process of going hard and fast. They had the first 100 days. So there's been this process of removal in a whole different areas of policy. And so that's what makes wants us to think about and reflect on in terms of what are the implications of these removals and amendments for inequality.
Yeah. So the topic, the actual conversation is The Rich and the Rest. Will Luxon and Co. worsen inequality? Can you tell me a little bit about Max Rashbrook? So who is this man? Where does he come from? And where is his knowledge from in terms of this kind of stuff?
Right, so yeah, so Max is a political commentator and a prolific writer in this area, and the way he kind of sums himself up is that he's really interested in democratic renewal and economic inequality.
What is democratic renewal? It feels like quite a bit of language there.
Oh yeah, that's very true. So I guess we are in a moment right now where there are lots of different social movements internationally. You know, obviously a big focus on Palestine at the moment, but protest is an important part of the democratic process.
Yeah.
But there's also a really strong set of voices that are trying to silence those protesters for all sorts of reasons. And in quite sort of negative ways, which basically means that democracy is being undermined. Mm. Now, in addition to that, there are lots of political leaders all over the world who have totalitarian leanings or authoritarian leanings.
Like the Trumpian type of politics is
absolutely
an authoritarian type of political animal.
So, and this is quite new.
Yeah.
This really strongly conservative suppression of civil society. And, you know, ever since since the 1970s, I guess civil society has been under attack in different ways. And so I think that Max is really, he's part of a movement, a broader movement that's been in place for a while, that's really committed to saying, look, social democracy works, democratic change works, but only if you support those processes of change from within. And so I think that that's what he's concerned about, protecting democracy, you know, making sure that people's voices are heard, and that people are equipped and enabled to flourish within civil society, and, you know, having strong democratic structures is a core to that.
I mean, it sounds like a bit of a woke agenda, Gemma. So, do you think, is he coming from a strongly left-wing ideology, or do you think this is a nonpartisan review of a political ideology and movement?
I definitely would say that. I mean, woke is a problematic term for me.
I know. I threw that out there deliberately.
But that's okay. I guess I wouldn't say that Max is coming from a position of identity politics.
Excellent, yeah.
And I think that's really key. Like, he is coming from a position of looking at specifically at economic inequality.
Yeah.
And that's why I've been fascinated with his work ever since I read the book Inequality Matters.
Yeah.
Because social policy at its heart is about asking questions and trying to understand how is the government redistributing goods and resources in order to foster equality. And that's very much what Max is concerned about as well. Because the government has the power, has the capacity, has the ability to make decisions about the education system, the health system, the housing system, and most importantly of all, the tax system, in ways that makes things fairer for us. So of course, you know, one of the issues that we're facing right now are the decisions around the tax breaks, the tax rebates.
Yes.
And will they actually make a difference? Because if you're coming from...
Or are they inflationary?
Well, yeah, that's right.
But also, who do they benefit, right?
Yeah, that's right. And will it be enough to actually compensate for the inflationary pressures?
Yes.
That people are suffering and trying to, you know, put food on the table and pay their rent or their mortgage.
Yeah.
You know, things are very, very serious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's coming to speak and like you say, his topics, The Rich and the Rest, will Luxon and Co. Worsen inequity. And I suppose in the little bit of the lead up, he's talking about how we had been seeing a small, and I think it's fair to say it was only small, drop in child poverty levels in the last government. And the last government had committed to doing that, right? Was a strong commitment to addressing child poverty and making a change there. And the numbers probably aren't quite where they'd want them to be, but I think that we would all accept too that there are a lot of things that happened during that period, including COVID and the likes, that also had a significant influence on what decisions government could make. But I think, certainly I think that they would agree as well that they didn't make the progress they would have liked to in that space.
Mm.
And so what Max Rapp's book is talking about is, you know, these tax deductions, the tax rebates for landlords, of which I am one, you know, that will offset, you know, like a lot of the pressures. So there's an implication, there's an insinuation perhaps that landlords will reduce rental rates because they're going to be getting these rebates. It's an interesting argument. It'd be very interesting to see how it's evidenced.
Yeah, because I'm only married to an economist. I don't know really anything about economics. but I can hear him in my head talking about how, well, actually, you know, it's supply and demand that determines rent level. And, you know, landlords are going to want a market rent. And that's totally fair enough. Like, why wouldn't they want the top amount of rent that they could get? Like, that's how capitalism works. Well, yeah, I mean,
not all landlords.
Yeah, no, I know. And I'm,
but you're right.
I have another voice in my head that belongs to someone that we both know who would be saying the same thing.
But you're absolutely right. Yeah. We know when we look at the numbers, when we look across our communities, that's exactly what's happening. What is the driver of rents? Yeah. Is it costs to landlords? And the argument here is a reduction in cost to landlords would follow suit, that there would be a reduction in cost to the tenant. Or is it a market rent across the board? And I feel like there's quite a strong evidence for that currently.
Yeah. And I think potentially, this is very speculative, but I do think that it could make it more attractive as an investment option.
Yeah.
And I think because I...
Which was the point of what the last government did.
Yeah.
Which was to make it less of an investment. Yeah. More encouraging first-time buyers into the market.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense. So have you been to see Max speak before?
Yes. I was very fortunate to be part of... a book launch for a book he edited, which was the Inequality Matters book. And that, I think that really sums up who Max is and his approach to research. He's very strongly evidence-based, unlike myself. That book is a collection of essays from highly esteemed academics like Linda Tuwai-Smith, Paul Dalziel, you know, really important academics.
Paul, we've related it all to Leanne?
Yes.
Oh, there you
absolutely,
go.
Absolutely, yeah. Yep. Yeah. Brother. But also a fantastic regional economist and geographer.
Okay, so when we talk about this is politics, we're talking the economy, it sounds dry. So why am I going to actually enjoy hearing this guy speak?
Well, I mean, that's one of the really special things about Max is that while he does write academically with a range of collaborators, because, you know, he is literally a research fellow at the University of Victoria, he's a journalist, first and foremost. And so he understands how to capture the reader's attention, which I think
is... So he's a storyteller.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why, you know, his TED Talk has had so many views. And I strongly encourage you to check it out. And he writes a column for Stuff on a regular basis, and he also writes for The Spin-Off. And both, you know, so in order to write effectively for those outlets, you have to be engaging.
Mm.
You know, it's in Stuff's best interest to have clicks.
Yes.
So, you know, and he is. I still remember... his book launched really, really well because of his capacity to engage you as a storyteller. And just the book itself is not a dry, even though it's written by academics, he went to great pains to try and make sure that the information was accessible as possible.
Yeah, it was a disingenuous question in that. I've also been to see him speak at the sociology conference, and he was very engaging.
Yeah.
Inspirational, actually. Yeah. Like, so, you know, I was really excited to see he's coming and that this is a public talk, freely open, available for anybody to attend. And we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we will be talking about the details of how to actually go along to this. So, so if you're listening and think, oh, I'm a bit curious, do grab a pen and paper so you can take down the details in a moment. Just before that, though, we're going to listen to a little short song. It's New Zealand Music Month, so we're celebrating. And today we're going to be celebrating with a little bit of Fred Dagg, the Gumboot song.
Righto, kick it in the guts, Trev.
Gumboots, they are wonderful. Gumboots, they are swell. Cos they keep out the water and they keep in the smell. And when you're sitting round at home, you can always tell when one of the Trevs has taken off his gumboots.
If it weren't for your gumboots, where would hospital or infirmary, because you would have a dose of the flu or even pleurisy if you didn't have your feet in your gumboots. Now there's rugby boots and racing boots and boots for drinking rum, but the only boots I'm never without are the ones that start with gum. I've got short ones and long ones and some up to me belt. I'm never dressed till I've got on me gum boots. If it weren't for your gum boots, where would you be? You'd be in the hospital or infirmary, because you would have a dose of the flu or even pleurisy if you didn't have your feet in your gum boots.
Sing at the opera, my gumboots are a must. They help me hit the high notes and protect my feet from a dust. They keep the water well away, so my voice won't get no rust. You won't not never see me without me gumboots.
If it weren't for your gumboots, where would you be? You'd be in the hospital or infirmary, because you would have a dose of the flu or even pleurisy if you didn't have your feet in your gumboots. Da-da-da-dum. Now Rob Muldoon and Rowling, they haven't made a hit. They're ruining the country more than just a bit. If they keep on the way they're going, we'll all be interred. So you'd better get your feet up your gumboots. If it weren't for your gumboots, where would you be? You'd be in the hospital or infirmary, because you would have a dose of the flu or even pleurisy if you didn't have your feet in your gumboots. If it weren't for your gumboots, where would you be? You'd be in the hospital or infirmary, because you would have a dose of the flu or even pleurisy if you didn't have your feet in your gumboots.
Little bit of Fred Dagg, Gumboots, New Zealand Music Monk. That is fantastic. But also John Clark, an incredible satirist, comedian, political animal.
Oh, definitely. I mean, you know, when comedy is super enjoyable, and it is at this at a surface level, like everyone can get on board with great jokes, like
yes,
the Gumboot song. But one of the really cool things about not just Fred Dagg but all of his characters is that he was, John Clark was intensely political.
Yeah.
And that is the benefit or the beauty of comedy, is that it does allow you to sneak those important messages in.
And to have hard conversations, right?
Yeah.
To call some things out
yeah.
in a way that doesn't feel, that doesn't push people to defensiveness.
Yeah.
But can even at times make you laugh at yourself. I mean, you know, it's no secret that I'm a lefty in my politics.
Yeah.
And I thoroughly enjoy the politics of people like John Stewart,
yeah.
you know, another John.
And John Oliver.
Yeah, and John Oliver. both of which actually point fun relatively often as well at left-wing politics. And I think you summed it up really well with that old term, identity politics. And it's easy to sometimes get sucked into that, right?
Yeah.
Where we step out of doing what we should do as engagers of civics and of politics and really look at the issues, and we just sometimes toe party lines that isn't actually helpful for anybody.
Oh, yeah. Because, I mean, the problem is that messages get really fragmented.
Yes.
And become, polarising.
Yes.
And, you know, as someone who's taught at the university, particularly for compulsory papers where students don't really want to be there, you know, it is very difficult getting them to want to engage with political debates, because it's either seen as threatening or boring,
yes,
or both. So by being able to access comedy and you know, very easy ways, less threatening ways of kind of considering these ideas, you can get to them to the point where they can develop their own critical voice and develop their own relationship with politics that is positive for them.
Mm. Yeah.
And that's why I love you know, satirists like John Clark.
Yeah.
And of course, teaching social policy and the practice of social policy has, programs have been fantastic as examples of getting students to think about how politicians actually act.
Yeah.
In ways that, you know, we can freely critique because, you know, it's fiction.
Yeah, it is. It feels extremely frustrating. And this is not just a criticism of the current government. This is a criticism I have of every government and every politician who's been given media training.
Yeah.
That that all you can hear is a series of speaking points. And no real engagement with questions.
Mm.
And there is I find that extremely frustrating at times. I know why they're doing it.
Yeah.
And even now, actually, at the moment, you know, we had it this morning where the leader of the opposition was responding to, you know, what's been happening in the polls currently and some of the most recent decisions of the current government. And again, it was speaking points.
Yeah.
You know, and it's frustrating because I think... I understand why it's happening, but I think it's sometimes the issue with media driving these conversations and then politicians playing to that rather than a genuine civic engagement with communities.
Yeah, that's right. And then, you know, bringing it back to Max, I think that, you know, when he talks about democratic renewal, that is part of the process because there's not, you know, democracy is not slick media messaging. It is about understanding what is happening at the grassroots level. What do people actually need to make a difference? Like, what actually is required to try and even out incomes so that we can even begin to start thinking about how to address the cost of living crisis, which is just deepening, unfortunately. Because of the situation internationally.
Yeah, yeah, but there are a lot of external factors that influence our own economy, right?
Yeah, yeah, which is, you know, why I get really frustrated because it becomes about slick messaging and you know, party politics, like with David Seymour saying Labor should be banished. I'm like, that's not the issue. Like, you can, you know, just like Labor blame National, now not Nationals blaming Labor. And I'm like, these aren't the critical issues are international. And so we need a debate on these international issues, not just, you know, who's right and who's wrong, which, you know, we've already talked about.
And I think, you know, I find it really interesting that, you know, this is why I love people like Max having these conversations, because I think that a lot of us has become quite disenfranchised from politics generally, right?
Yeah.
Even to the point where a lot of people don't understand the difference between left-wing and right-wing politics.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
And then people stick to it polarised by something they don't, you know, truly understand. And I'd love for politicians to... I mean, they all agree on the greater issues, right? They all actually agree that they want New Zealand to be a better place for everybody. They want that.
Absolutely.
What they don't agree on is how you achieve that.
That's right.
You know, so the right wing thinks that you achieve that through building an economy, and economic imperatives will change the situations of individuals in a community.
Yeah.
Whereas the left wing believe public policy needs to be in place to address inequities that occur outside of, you know, that are historic in nature, that are sometimes based in. It could be patriarchy, it could be colonisation, whatever it is. Yeah. So they are different ways to try and achieve the same thing.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I mean, you're so right. I do have the privilege of being able to take a political position in my classes because my background's in labour studies and social policy itself is an inherent, is a subject driven by social justice. But nonetheless, I think it's really important to acknowledge that both the left and right, they just want a good society.
Yeah.
They just have different ideas about what that looks like. And I think for me, it is about acknowledging that opportunities are not evenly distributed. So simply trying to create a level playing field through legislation is not enough. There has to be that process of reducing past inequalities.
Yeah. So, look, we've only got another sort of 6 minutes, maybe less. Actually, we've got less. We've got about 4 minutes. We've got 3.5 minutes. So let's talk a bit about how people might access Max's conversation.
Okay, so it was really important for Max that this be a community event. Rather than, you know, because there are lots of departmental seminars where academics talk to academics.
Yes. Yes.
It is being organised by myself as part of my program, as part of the social policy program. So it's very informal. I've booked a decent size room in one of the teaching buildings in the heart of the campus, just behind the PAR, called East Block. And it's a great space with a nice big foyer. So, you know, you're welcome to come a bit early. So we're encouraging people to turn up around any time from 5:30.
Yeah.
With the idea that the talk would start at 6 and run till 7:30, you know, to make sure that there's enough time for people to actually talk to Max, because that's what he's interested in. So 6 p.m. kickoff, and the room is S104.
So S block, level one, yes. Room number 4.
Yeah.
And where's parking?
So the best place to go for parking is Gate 1. Gate 1 has a really large car park, so that does mean that there's a little bit of a walk.
Mm-hmm. And some stairs.
Yeah, and some stairs, but there are elevators that you can access around L Block that can take you to level 1. So the lift is in an external part of the building, just in front of East Block.
Yeah.
But it should be easy to find.
Are you going to have little signs or people perhaps directing?
That would be wise.
Yeah, maybe we'll do that.
But I have not thought about that. But what I was going to say is that there is parking accessible through Gate 8, not a lot.
Yeah.
Very small. But
there is
disability parking there.
Yeah.
And so if you do have a disability card, I strongly encourage you to use Gate 8. But there isn't, there's not a lot of parking. It's very, very limited.
Yeah.
But that's one thing. And if you do go through Gate 8, you will come to S Block at level 1.
Yeah.
But for most people, I encourage you to go to, and Gate 8 is on Hillcrest Road. Gate 1 is on Knighton Road.
So in the last 30 seconds that we have, what night is it on?
Oh, that's even more important. It's on the 9th of May, which is
Thursday. Thursday the 9th of May. Turn up at 5:30. Opportunity to speak to Max Rashbrook. Opportunity to hear someone who's really explored the themes about what's going on currently and get a perspective about what that looks like, and to share, ask your own questions and share your own thoughts.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for coming, Gem. I really appreciate you being here today.
Oh, absolute pleasure, Holly. Thank you for having me.
We'll get you back another time. And that is us for another week. You've been listening to Connect with Community Waikato on Free FM 89.0.
For more episodes, use the accessmedia.nz app for iOS and Android devices, or subscribe to this podcast via Spotify, iHeartRadio, or Apple Podcasts. This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.